auf another episode. I'm Steph.
I'm Rimzy.
And I'm Natu.
This is the Men's True Podcast.
Yes, thank you very much, Rimzy. Yes. Very good. Great. So today we just wanted to as we reflect, as we always do, we just wanted to look at, you know, the different stages of, you know, development, especially in a man's life. How perspectives changed, you know, what we think was important. Because we were having a very candid conversation before about, you know, how growth changes your mindset. You know, so, and also how in the stages, when we look at relationships, how we look at careers, professionalism, you know, importance of family, all of those things, how these things change. So let me start. Natu, 7-year-old Michael Natu, if you had to close your eyes, what were two of the most important things to you?
Two of the most important things to me.
7-year-old Michael Natu.
7-year-old me. Getting breakfast and staying out for as long as I could without any consequences, I believe. I think.
Food, staying outside. We outside. Rimzy, 7-year-old Karim Ellis.
7-year-old Karim Ellis. Outside, I kill lizard, run down dog, play football, ride bicycle. eat mango. Just
why?
Typical boy, but no. Just typical young boy thing, you know. Play with my Hot Wheel tie them.
Yeah.
Slingshot.
Oh, yo.
We got a door with slingshot.
You used to make them too? Because we used to make them from scratch, you know.
Make them from scratch, yeah.
Yeah.
One of my specialty at that age was hit down the wasp nest them and pull out the wasp them out.
Yo.
Not much book work.
So it's funny you say that, though. It's funny you say that because it's probably around 7 or 8. I stayed home. You know, sometimes you fake sick. If my parents hear this, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes you fake sick to stay home from school. I don't know if you remember that. Sick to stay home from school. And somehow I found myself outside. Big mango tree. We call it a liquor tree. I think Jamaicans call it a common mango tree. See? And up in the tree is this nest. Not a wasp, but the family of it. Something we call Jack Spaniard. And I decided to take the football and throw it as close to the nest as possible without hitting it. I don't know why I thought this was a sensible thing. So the thing then start come outside of the nest now. And I keep throwing the ball just high enough just to irritate them, but not high enough to knock down the nest. And brother, all me feel about 20 stings here. Same time, and you know they love aim for the eye and the ears. You see, brother, we say we go inside my ball. My grandmother have to put hot butter on it, forget out the sting, and all of them something. But I would have it no other way.
You know, the candy discussion we were having earlier, I recall seeing that you know, early 20s. You know, late teens, early 20s, women started dominated. Girls started dominated. You know that. You know how many women you were talking to, the kinds of women you were talking to, and you know approaching. You know, like, you know, in my late 20s now, I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking like, oh, it's not that. You know, it's not all that, you know, like the attention you spend on other things, on other, on outside of yourself, you know, women in particular, especially one that's not contributing much. It's draining. And then when we look on 7-year-old me, like I remember I had a crush, and my friends knew I had a crush on this girl, and so yeah, 7-year-old, you're fool. And I remember they blindfolded me, right? And basically, so we were in the schoolyard, and I saw my crush all the way across the schoolyard, and they blindfolded me, and my crush's her cousin was there, so in the group that blindfolded me, and so they knew, and they were laughing about it, and they were going to blindfold me to take me to her. I didn't know it was a prank, and so they blindfolded me. I knew, as much as I knew, I was heading over to my crush, you know, laughing and pretending like I didn't know what was happening. And until almost like halfway across the yard, I just hear like this a bugger laughing.
How old were you?
I think it was around, it probably wasn't around that time. I don't know. It feels like it was around that time. But, you know, memory is not always the best at accuracy. But it feels a lot closer to that time. And they were taking me over to my crush. And then I just stopped moving. And then when I took off the blindfold, I was standing in a big pile of shit, bro. And that's what was happening. Yeah, I got so pissed, and I remember being so embarrassed. But then, like, it goes over the top things, like, well, impress women.
Do you think we become pessimistic about love then? Because you say like, you know, like the time and the attention and all of those things, the older you get. The less important. Well, not love by itself, yeah, but relationships overall.
I think an important thing that comes with growth, particularly as men, is precision. You know, we grow from blunt force objects into objects of precision, I believe, as we get older. So it's not so much, you know, I wouldn't say the refined interest is evidence of pessimism, but it's evidence of being more aware of where to direct your energy.
So not necessarily pessimistic, but probably more realistic. Yeah,
as I said.
Let's fast forward to teenage. Teenage years now. You reach what you used to call it big school, you reach high school. You know, you're now starting to understand more about yourself. Changes start happening. So you start to figure out what group do you fall in at that time. So Rimzy, you were in sports. You were in sports in high school.
Yeah, man. I was an athlete, football and tracks. I think at that stage was when, you know, the ego fears start to kick in.
Yeah,
like. You know, you know, as you quite rightly say, trying to fit in, find your circle, find where you belong.
Your balls start drop.
Your balls start drop, yeah, your body start change. This is where you have to watch the company that you start keep, because, I mean, from an early age, you can be led. You can be led astray very easily. At this age, I feel like this age is when we're very, what's the word I'm looking for right now? The word now come, but at this age, I feel like we're easily, because we're trying to adjust,
easily swayed, so impressionable.
We're very impressionable at this stage because we're trying to figure out, you know,
yeah,
which circle do I fit in, what you know,
yeah, and that could literally determine the direction of your life after that.
The direction, exactly, even in different categories, because even in sports, you know, that one part, that one, then, you know, should I do football, should I do tracks, should I just screw all of this, should I, you know, should I go smoke weed with my friend, should I go skull class, should I go, you know, so
No, you're right.
This stage, should I go talk to the girl under the tree? Should I play a purple touch?
Yo, everything except study. I hear everything except study.
Study was the last thing.
Yep.
Studying was the last thing on my mind.
Studying wasn't marketed as cool, right? Study was not marketed as something that, you know, you should say openly. I mean, understood when it comes to exam time, yeah, study. But in high school, you're not here, no, but none of your bridging. So, yo, may I go study, you know? Like, that is the last thing. That's the last thing that you would hear.
But, yeah, we've gone through that. And I'm curious to know, and perhaps about all the stages that we went through up to where we are now, but at that time, looking back now, is there an experience you wish you had, or is there something you wish you had learned at that age, at that time? So maybe not age, but like, you know, here. So let's say 70, you know, from where we started with 70, why not there? 7 to 10, 7 to 8, 7 to 12, whatever.
Do you wish you had learned anything? Well, boy, quite frankly, 7 to 10, I wish I had higher self-esteem at that stage in my life. I had terrible self-esteem, low self-esteem. So if I had to tell myself something at that age was just, yo, just ignore what people have to say about you. People are like, oh, let's say somebody, you know, even at this stage, right? But it takes growth for you to just start accepting that.
Yeah, I don't think, and honestly, I don't think you will accept that at that age.
At that age,
as I said before, I felt like our minds were too
impressionable. Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're way too impressionable at that age. So that's why sometimes when I look back on certain things, I'm like, some of these things, they had to happen, right? I mean, some of them could have been avoided, but some of them had to happen so it could change and alter the trajectory of your life. You understand? And looking back at it, there are many things, as I said, even in the episode we did earlier on, or the end of the year, about regret. I wouldn't say there's stuff I regret, but there, looking back, there's stuff I probably would have done differently. But it still didn't make me any worse off, in a sense. Because at the end of the day, you just don't know. You don't know what path would have taken you where. Yeah. So life is funny. But I just feel like the stages of our life, there are certain things that we should go through, which is why I keep saying that. Even in a man's young age, that early teen to 20s stage of your life. So men should have a lot of experiences. Get your heart broken. Have sex.
Yeah, shit. Get your heart broken before that, yo.
Yeah. Some religious person might disagree with me, and that's completely fine. If that's part of your religion, I mean, this is not for you, but I just feel like men should experience a lot of things within a certain stage of their life. So when they get to their late 20s, 30s, they're not playing catch up. And exactly, they're prime. They're not playing catch up. And not only are they playing catch up, but when they're faced with situations later on, they don't handle them like boys. You understand? Because they've been there already. They've experienced this and they've developed a certain level of maturity where they can pass, which is why a lot of men and a lot of relationships, they face infidelity issues, you know. So a whole heap of bag of stuff. So,
but you know, just to the point Steph mentioned, I think that's something a lot of boys can relate to. you know, that particular age, you know, the issue of self-confidence being, it feels all like a game where you start at the lowest level and it's up to you. What you do on your quest determines how you level up. You know, cause I can't recall other, other boys, you know, that particular stage being very confident. And even if I feel like if I were to make that judgment now that, you know, this dude was pretty confident.
Yeah.
You know, when I assess it, it was sort of like a full confidence. Like it's not something that was rooted in what we come to know confidence as. And perhaps it's all relative, obviously, but I just feel like at that stage, like Rimzy said, you know, there were certain things that we had to go through, certain things, certain experiences we had to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like in a bit of a philosophical sense, I don't particularly agree with, you know, the concept of, you know, some people are like, I had to go through this pain to become who I am. Or, you know, I had to endure this sort of trauma. I'm not saying you don't learn anything, but I remember thinking about it, you know, about things like that, you know, sometime back, and I remember writing this down, and I have the thing I wrote down after thinking about it, and it's this: pain does not have a monopoly on all the lessons worth learning in this life. Pain does not set out to teach you anything. What you learn in relation to pain is not as a result of the pain itself, but as a result of your being identifying the pain, desensitizing you to it, and trying to get you to avoid it in the future. Things that don't cause you pain aren't any less useful than the things that do. You can learn just as much from the good as you can from the bad. And that's what I wrote out. Do any of you share that sentiment when you look back at your experiences that early on?
I think it's a balance. I people say everything happens for a reason, but I think that's a proverb that's incomplete, because you have good reasons and you have bad reasons. What I will say is that we adapt to the things that happen to us, and it makes us who we are now in the present. Unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of a parallel universe to see how things would have turned out if whatever didn't happen, which is why I think people just accept that even as a coping mechanism, everything happens for a reason, because it's all linear. Like, you can't picture your life without this thing happening. So I think
and even if you did, what good would it serve, right?
Well, if you knew,
even if you pictured your life a certain way, it already happened. Like, you can't rewrite.
It already happened, but
right.
Yeah, but there's, yeah, I think it's part of, because we are sense making and meaning making, so we all look back, even if it's to relive and feel the sensation of something good, or to try to rationalize and understand why something bad happened to you, so that it doesn't happen ever again. But you know, when people say, or when even I would say, I would have it no other way. Even it doesn't even matter if I would have it any other way, because it can't change. Mm-hmm. And all of the things that happened along the way have equipped me with the particular tools to exist in this life, in this moment as it is now. Everybody needs to, I think we need to embrace the things that have happened to us and see what we can learn from them and recreate the good things, and the things that were bad, just sidestep the bullshit. Like if Natu had didn't have on the blindfold, he could have sidestepped the bullshit, just sidestep the bullshit. And as every second pass, and we learn something else. Which is why, which is what I think a lot of men don't get credit for growing. Like there's always somebody to remind you about how you were in the past, as if you're supposed to be static, right? So you grow out of a violent environment into a corporate environment, and somebody always wants to remind you about the violent environment you come from, right? You were this, you were that, and you were the other, and there's always somebody like just wants to. I don't know if they feel like it's a humbling mechanism, like. When you're feeling too good by yourself, somebody just feel like they need to chop you down just because they want to feel better, you know. But I think that's something we don't get a lot of credit for. Like in your early 20s, man, after university or that period of life, high school and your first job, in your early 20s, your concepts of how things, you think that you've learned enough. And life just says, wait, there's more in your early 20s.
And yeah, on that note, when does it become important? You know, alluding to what we made reference to in our intro, when does it become important to start having these very real conversations about what the professional man looks like, what the professional male looks like? And depending on your answer, how do you reconcile? Because I think Rimzy would agree with this, you know, as he mentioned earlier, like, there is a time for us to be young, dumb, and grow, you know, do young, dumb shit, you know? But when do you start having conversations while embracing that phase about, you know, being professional? And what does that look like to each other?
I don't ever agree with the broke part or the young, the dumb. I don't ever agree with the dumb and broke part, but I do believe in living.
No, man,
we've done some stupid shit.
Hold on, you make me done, man. Yeah, I mean, all that we have done some stupid shit. We've even spoken about it on the live. And I mean, those are the things that we can reflect on, and we can laugh, and we have stories, and make our lives interesting. Like when your teeth out your father car, and your drive go check a girl at 12 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning, and you know a foolishness you do, and you. On the journey, you know, foolishness, yeah, though, but I mean, you're driven by testosterone, ego, and just the thrill of everything. So, and I mean, these are.
So you think those are important, although dumb, admittedly, those are important experiences to have, right?
Because we can't listen. I can talk about them now, and when I lie down at my bed and close my eye, I remember them, I smile.
Right. And that's where I was getting to. So when do you start having a conversation? Because we could all agree that by societal standards, those are unprofessional behaviors, right? So do we start having this conversation about the professional man? Because men have a problem with that. You have men who later on in life, they are unable to act right in a professional setting. They don't know how to carry themselves. So when we start having a conversation,
I have learned to swap out professionalism for responsibility, right? Because I understand the context that you're using professionalism in, but. Deeper than the conventional definition or the conventional thinking about it, which means pretend in an acceptable way. That's oftentimes what we mean by professional in this day and age. Because even as we're talking about what the experiences, it sounds like it's an antithesis to professional, as if to say that professional means you have to pretend that all of these other elements of your life are irresponsible, dumb, wild, vile, and all of those things. So I think professionalism, I've grown out of professionalism to being responsible. And when I say that, I mean behavior that is worthy of the profession, whatever profession you are in, because professionalism as a salesman is going to be professionalism, different from a lecturer, different from a journalist, and all of those things. So responsibility beyond just the facade or the attitude. Responsibility meaning that you're responsible enough to deliver primarily the things in your field or your profession. You're responsible enough to understand that the treatment of others is of optimal value, and you're responsible enough to understand that your attitudes can also affect your life outside of that space. There are a lot of well-dressed men out there who cannot do a job well, or who, quite frankly, are crooks or con men. But because they wear the image of being quote-unquote conventionally professional, they trick the workplace and then trick the woman then. Right? Well, and you have men who are rich, responsible, breaking records, topping charts, who all you see them in sometime in some shorts and some t-shirt and a regular slippers going into the bank. And you probably look down on that person because you think that this person is not up to your standard, you know?
Well, you know, the important thing as well, and I agree completely with everything you said, but these are things that are earned, right? You don't just get to go into a space and command that level of freedom. And it's ironic that we you know, if you're in a position where you have to demand freedom, your life is not in the ideal situation. But you know, a lot of our workplaces and the quote unquote professional spaces, you know, insist on these things in despite, you know, the increase in evidence. The good thing is, I think we're on a sort of shift, right? Particularly brought on by the pandemic, where what it means to be professional is being redefined every single day. And so even more important than the notion of what professional is in our little space, we have to be aware of what professionalism is becoming, and not only that, but the price to pay to parade your brand of professionalism. Because you know, like how we wear our hair, for example, Steph, right? All three of us, how we wear our hair in a larger setting, they O'Reilly say, oh, like, this is an unprofessional hairstyle.
Oh, we couldn't work but a bank.
We couldn't. And that's it. But we all have started to become, dare I say, paragons of what we do, in what we do. You know what I mean? So we get to operate with a certain level of freedom. And I think that's a liberating thing to do, and it's a kind of protest that helps to change or to reshape these spaces. And so when men think about value, don't just think about it in a vacuum. Don't just think about it that, you know, because what you do, the value that you put into what you do, is helping to create an environment for other men to be their truest selves. You know, even if they don't have the size of leverage that you do, you know what I mean? So yeah, I feel like that's an important point about establishing value, understanding professionalism, and embracing, you know, responsibilities, as you said.
Mm-hmm. I think when, like, just listening to our conversation, I think all lies are basically a pyramid. Like when you're young, you're trying out, you're doing all of these things. The older you get, it becomes more specialized. If you understand, you see what I'm talking about? Like just the examples of the things we used to do when we were younger. When you reach high school, the things that became a little bit more important, right? After a little bit older, and now, like your focus is on probably one thing. You want to be known for this one thing. You want to be good at this one thing. Hence the concept of your profession. They know you as a lawyer, right? They know you as a doctor, right? And essentially you're refining yourself even within this context. So and I think we said it in another episode, we haven't even reached our prime yet. So we're still learning as we're going along. I always wonder what is going to be the defining characteristic of this decade of my life, Godspeed life, you know, because I think every decade there's something else that defines you, whether it's a thing or a goal to be achieved, CSEC or degree or first car or whatever it is. But the sooner you find yourself, discover yourself, remove those negative voices from your mind, try new things responsibly, live your life responsibly. The better the quality of life might be in any stage as a man. So.
But still have these experiences, though. You still need to have some of them wild experiences so you can tell your grandkids.
Yo, listen.
Slap them where you usually.
So that's the other thing. I don't feel like, I think that's when you give up on life. I'm not saying do crazy things, but still do things that excite you. And I think they pitch life. Like the stages of our life, when you reach a certain age, you become an adult. An adult means boring. An adult means, you know, I do nothing. And you just paying bills and you're living to die. And then when you reach 60, you can finally retire and then you start enjoy life again. I reject that in no uncertain terms. So people, you know, this was just us talking just briefly about the stages in our life. And I think it opens up a discussion, like elements of this discussion. We can go into more in depth. So, gentlemen, people, see you in the next episode. Dreams away, I'll tell people.
Legendary.